This is the day it happened. Lowell Thomas speaking. Our story begins at 7 o'clock in the morning in a white house on Bright Street in a town which we will call Munson. It's the only house on the street which could stand another coat of paint, number 317. The sound of spring filters into the open window. The garbage collector is finishing up his job. Kids are playing tag next door.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here I come, ready or not.
The milkman is picking up and delivering. Yes, an ordinary day, an ordinary street, ordinary folks in an ordinary Midwest town. But this is not an ordinary story. Not the day it happened.
United Nations Radio presents The Day It Happened, a special transcribed play in tribute to the International Red Cross with Madeline Carroll, Francho Tone, and Lowell Thomas. The broadcast will conclude with a message from Mr. Doug Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the United Nations. Now, The Day It Happened.
Get it, Kim. Go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep? With those two hoodlums downstairs waiting for breakfast?
I can squeeze an orange. Stay put.
Oh, morning. I hate it.
No. Take it easy, darling.
Why can't women have babies without this?
Wish it could be me instead.
That, darling, would be nigh near impossible. I guess I love you anyway.
Getting to be a habit after 19 years.
Mm-mm, never.
Uh-oh. The culture has begun. And at 7 a.m.
There aren't enough hours in the day for your daughter. Think it must be love.
Caught her reading Elizabeth Barrett Browning last night.
Then it is love. That gangly beanpole down the street. I think he plays basketball or something.
Mom, can't you make her stop it? Hey, Mom, it's awful.
It is sort of early for canaries, Kim.
It's never too early for 17. Come on, Tad. Let's you and me go downstairs and get breakfast.
I'll be down in a minute.
Can we go fishing today, Pop? Got me a new pole. Traded Butch a dead snake for it.
It's a date, right after I get home tonight.
Why not now, Pop? Why not now?
Because you have to go to school. And I have to go and see Mayor Lawrence.
Come on, Tad.
Hey, Mom. If you put 67 with 93, what's the answer, huh?
You didn't do your homework.
Me and Donnie had an important club meeting with the Bunker Hill boys. We had to swear in a new guy.
Donnie and I, Tad.
Oh, gosh.
Morning, Mother.
Hi, Cindy. You're in good voice this morning.
You really think so?
Come on in and practice over scrambled eggs.
Mother, how can you be so prosaic?
Get her.
Why must I be chastised by such infants?
What's that mean?
You're too young to know.
Who are you kidding?
Come on. It's too early for argument. Let's eat. Hand me that frying pan, Cindy, will you?
Got something real important to do. Be right back, Mom.
Not before breakfast.
Be right back. Honest.
Squeeze some oranges, will you, dear?
Yes, Mother. I shall forget you presently, my dear. So make the most of this, your little day, your little month, your little half a year.
I beg your pardon?
It's Edna St. Vincent.
Hmm?
Malay, Mother.
Oh.
Don't you think it's beautiful?
Not quite so early in the morning.
What's the matter, Mother? Don't you feel well?
You might as well know now, darling. I'm having a baby.
You?
Well, your father had something to do with it, too.
Utterly fantastic.
Just human nature, that's all.
My mother. I could die. What will Harold think?
Oh, I hardly think it concerns Harold. Hand me the butter, will you, dear?
Everything concerns Harold.
Who's Harold?
He's the captain of the basketball team.
He'll be so embarrassed. What'll I tell him?
I don't know. People have babies every day.
Not my mother.
Thank heavens.
Okay, women. Life can start now. Your man's arrived.
Hi, Father. You smell nice.
Shaving cream.
Nicest smell in the world. Fried or scrambled?
Poached.
Just like a man.
Dad?
Someone forgot to wind the clock again.
Dad?
The next investment we make is going to be an electric clock.
My guess is 7:30, darling.
Dad, did you know about this?
Know about what, Duncan?
Oh, don't make me say it. The baby, of course.
Well, sure.
Well?
Shall I prepare a defense in my behalf?
I do think you should have consulted me.
I'm afraid it wasn't possible, Cindy.
I'll never be able to face him. Never.
Where are you going, Cindy?
To school.
But it's too early.
No man is an island. Every man is part of the main. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for me. Oh, Mother, how could you?
Hey, what gives with our progeny?
She's at the quoting age, Larry. She'll get over it.
She should practice what she quotes. No man is an island.
I'm glad, aren't you?
Couldn't be happier.
Don't worry. She'll get over the first shock. Somehow when you're 17, it's hard to face reality. It's better to have it sneak up on you unaware.
Wonderful life, wonderful day, wonderful woman. What more could a young man want?
Maybe a poached egg? Cindy!
I forgot my music.
That's my family. Larry, who likes baseball and fishing and a darn good argument now and then like any lawyer would. Tad, who collects dead snakes and pieces of string. And Cindy, who collects emotions as any 17-year-old girl should. Every morning in our house starts off like this. Tad whooping it off to second grade, Cindy to high school, and Larry to the city hall. He had some law business with Mayor Lawrence today. The house was still and quiet now. I could take a deep breath, maybe have a second cup of coffee with the morning news.
That concludes our morning melodies for this morning. And now for the cranberry bog bulletin. Friends, it's a beautiful day as far as cranberries are concerned. The weather couldn't be better in the bogs. No smudge pots needed today, no sir.
Smudge pots?
It's a simply beautiful day.
It was like a gigantic explosion. No one knew what happened that day, but they soon found out what hadn't happened. It wasn't a meteor. It was not an atomic explosion. Trains were ripped from their tracks, buses thrown to the side of the road like matchsticks, telephone wires broken, electric power severed, and the house at 317 Bright Street that needed a coat of paint had almost disappeared from the earth. The town of Munson was incommunicado, completely cut off from the rest of the world.
What is your number, please?
Operator.
Hello, I will try it again.
Chicago.
Yes, Mr.
Chicago, calling in.
Operator, I've been cut off with Munson.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll try to get them back for you. Clearwater.
Yes, operator. Clearwater.
TC to Center City.
Center City.
TC to Munson.
Sorry, operator. All circuits to Munson are out of order.
I'm unable to get your call through, sir. All circuits to Munson are out of order.
So what do you mean by that? It's important. You know who I am?
I can't give you that information, sir. We'll keep trying to reach your party and advise. Supervisor. Operator in Center City reports all circuits to one.
I lay in the rubble that had been my house. The front door was blown out. The windows were gone. Their frames stared out at me emptily, like the eye sockets of a skeleton. Little things loomed large. A glass of water on the sink, undisturbed. I was alive. I don't know why. Why had the glass of water been undisturbed? All thought, all due process of reason had gone with a big noise. I started to walk. Didn't know where I was going. Thought was too difficult. Maybe it was a dream. It would soon be over. Walk. Walk away from the dream. Slowly, but walk. Walk up Bright Street, across Bell Road. Walk. Look. Pick your way among the bricks, carefully. Little things. An orange rolling in the gutter. Chimney standing, nothing else. A door swinging crazily on its hinges. A door leading to nowhere now. People passing. They're walking too. And they're silent. The steeple of St. Ambrose Church looms large ahead. Step over a dead cat. Walk toward town. Keep on walking. And then the cover was taken off silence and the noise began to seep through. The brutal sound of a city in disaster came memory. Where was Tad? Cindy? Larry?
I wish you wouldn't drive so fast, Tom.
I know what I'm doing. See if you can get some news on the radio. I want to find out how Brooklyn made out.
Okay.
Looks like we're going to be in Chicago by 6 o'clock.
Yes, if we don't get a ticket for speeding.
Ben Brower with the news.
The scores, the scores.
The first report of the disaster has just been handed to me. An airview, as seen by a transcontinental pilot, reports that the town of Munson is virtually destroyed. Homes and city buildings seem as one great pile of plaster, stone, and wood. The water mains have broken, flooding the streets. Fires have broken out in scattered areas. The lack of water supply multiplies this danger. The army is sending troops in at once. The Red Cross has already established stations in the town. The origin of the disaster
is still not known. Listen to that, will you? Listen.
Quiet.
It is verified, however, that the explosion is not of atomic origin. Geneva. The conference meeting in Geneva today.
Gee, awful, huh?
Yeah, poor devil.
See if we can find the Brooklyn scores, Bert.
Folks, there's no doubt this is an amazing new discovery.
I pushed my way crazily through the rubble of the streets, past children too shocked to cry, old women haunted, eyes unseeing. I couldn't stop to help. Tad was at school. Elementary school, not far. Turn right on Great Mansion Street. Straight ahead. There. There is where it used to be. A mammoth pile of terracotta bricks. Desks piled up like firewood. Jagged slab of blackboard. And standing in front of the blackboard, over the rubbled kindergarten, a woman. Excuse me.
Oh, have you come to class?
Can you tell me, please? Are you a teacher?
Yes. Yes.
Where are the children?
I don't know.
The second grade.
I think they went on a nature hike this morning.
Thank God.
I was in here when it fell. I was pointing to the map. I was telling them an island is a body of land surrounded by water.
Can I help you?
I'm all right. An island is all alone. What are they looking for?
For children like mine.
Oh, yes.
You're sure you're all right?
Yes. I just remembered something.
Yes?
It was the third grade. Miss Thomas told me this morning the third grade went on the nature hike. The second grade's in there.
Oh, no!
Ma'am, this isn't any place for you. We're getting them out as fast as we can.
He was in the second grade. He's got freckles.
The Red Cross has set up headquarters for missing persons over there in St. Ambrose's basement. Now, you go over there and tell them your boy's name.
He's in there. I've got to find him.
Ma'am, do you understand?
He liked fishing. He was going fishing tonight with Larry.
Here, ma'am. I'll take you over.
I'm all right. Let me go.
We'll be sure to find him. Don't you worry, ma'am. We'll find him. Don't you worry.
That just came in upstairs with no beds. Have you got any matches?
I see. How long ago did it happen, Mr. Van Damme?
Well, this morning I went out to milk my cows, and then the noise came, and then the water. More water than I have seen in my 56 years.
Well, sir, do you want to report a lost person?
Yes, Cecil here can tell you about it. We play chess together every now and then, and Cecil here lived in that trailer camp out near the back 40.
What happened to the trailers?
Well, every last one of them smashed by the water. The 14 trailers, 30 foot long, piled up along the tracks like firewood.
Any casualties?
Swept our trailer camp right up on the railroad embankment. Took all my books with it, including my complete set of the world's great thinkers. A pity. I was only halfway through volume one.
Sorry, so you'll have to be more specific. There are others waiting. The woman behind you has been here for a very long time.
Yeah, well, that water was high as a man. The last thing I saw was my haystack floating downstream with a chicken on top.
It's a veritable torrent. What can a student of mankind do against the forces of nature?
Please, ma'am, I'll be with you in just a minute.
More water. Never seen anything like...
Ma'am, please wait.
I couldn't wait any longer. There wasn't time to wait. It was 3 o'clock. I had to find Tad. Cindy. Of course, Cindy. No, find Larry first. He'll know what to do. He can help. Walk. Walk across the bridge, past a tree...
This is Lowell Thomas again. Eyewitness reports had begun to filter through from the stricken area surrounding the town of Munson, which was devastated early that morning by an undesignated explosion or force of nature. The town of approximately 5,000 inhabitants, located in the heart of the grain belt, had been leveled. The inhabitants were dazed, a situation similar to many disaster areas, but help was coming from all over. Not only the Army and the Red Cross, but from many other sources.
It's getting dark. Across the street. That wall used to be the hardware store. That wall. And a man leaning against it. A man with Larry's shoulders. Larry!
Hey, stay away from there.
It's Larry! Larry! Please let me through.
No, you can't.
The wall!
Larry!
The wall's gone!
Ah! Get out!
Have mercy upon the souls of thy servant.
Nurse Jorgensen.
Yes, doctor.
One God.
Oh, is this the shock case?
Yes. Yeah. Give her 100 cc's of serum albumin. It should bring her around.
Oh, yes. The men who brought her in said they picked her out of the rubble after a wall collapsed.
Identification?
Yes. This is a prescription slip in her apron pocket, made out to Mrs. Larry Young, 317 Wright Street.
Let's see, blood pressure, 127 over 70. It's not bad. Pulse, 72. I see that her hands are taken care of, nurse.
Yes, of course.
They must have been digging in the rubble.
They all have.
How's the blood holding out?
Pretty low, but they are sending in as much as they can spare by helicopter.
Be on the lookout.
Yes, Dr. Will. Is she bad enough to keep on a cot here?
Doctor,
Doctor, please.
Yeah, she's pregnant. A miracle she didn't lose the baby after this. Coming, nurse. I'll be right there.
Refreshment and everlasting blessedness. We beseech thee.
Is too fast, Tom.
I was going to make Chicago by dark, and I'm going to make Chicago by dark.
Slow down, please.
Now, here is a warning.
Tom, please, slow down.
Stay away from the disaster area unless you can be of assistance. It is extremely dangerous. Next newscast at 7 o'clock.
I'm sick of listening to that.
What did you turn it off for? It's important. Some people don't only think of themselves. Tom, I told you.
I know. Never gonna make Chicago by dark now.
Put the child over there on the floor and administer morphine.
Oh, I realize.
Well,
Mrs.
Young.
Nurse Massey.
I have to get out now.
Somebody's here looking for Mrs. Young. Please, give me that flashlight. Show him where she is, will you?
Kim, thank God. Thank God.
Larry.
That's quite all right.
You tore the sleeve of your new suit.
Kim.
I thought you were under that wall. I looked everywhere.
Are you all right?
I guess so.
The baby?
It's all right. Tad. Where's Tad?
I don't know. I've checked all the registries.
Cindy?
Right down the end of the block at Jutland's boat store.
Thank God.
They've set up a first aid station. She's helping out the doctor.
But how?
Don't worry. She didn't go to school and went for a walk by the river instead. She couldn't face Arrow.
But, Tad...
We'll keep looking.
We have to hurry.
I'm sure you're well enough to get up.
Yes, now that you're here.
Easy now.
Oh, Larry.
We'll find him, darling.
See if you can't get some more plasma, please. We're running low. Easy now. Cindy?
Yes, doctor?
Pull the blanket a little higher to keep the patient warm, please.
I could put my coat over him if it would help.
Oh, that won't be necessary, my dear.
Oh.
Easy now. Hold the flashlight a little closer, Cindy.
Yes, Dr. Park.
Oh, hold it, Jim. That man's got a broken leg.
Better slow down the plasma flow.
Uh-huh.
So you like Millet?
Oh, yes.
How did it used to go? I think I shall forget you presently, so make the most of this your little day. When you administer blood plasma to a patient, Miss Young, you're supposed to look at the patient, not the doctor.
Yes, Dr. Park.
Hold the bottle a little higher.
You knew those lines.
Yes. How did the rest of it go?
Ere I forget or die or move away, and we are done forever. Everything is so transient, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Dr. Park, do you think that anything ever lasts?
Of course it does. You've been a wonderful help to me here, Cindy.
Is that all, Dr. Park? Don't you believe in Millet?
Cindy, I think you'd better switch to another poet. Millet could get you in trouble. I'll be back in a moment. Take good care of the pig.
All the little boys have red hair and freckles.
I checked at the church. No name.
Oh, he wouldn't think of going there. He's too small to be sensible.
So many people in town I've never seen before.
Where do they come from?
Don't know.
They all wanted to help. Even people you didn't know.
Let's stop at Jutland's and pick up Cindy.
Tad! There he is!
Kim, no, it's not Tad.
You call me, ma'am?
I thought you were my son.
Have you seen a boy just about your size? He had red hair and freckles.
I've worn a pair of jeans.
Yes, he did.
Had a fishing boat and a pair of worms and a home in his T-shirt right here.
That's right.
Name's Tad?
Yes.
Oh, he's still down the other end of the river.
Oh.
Us Bunker Hill boys went fishing.
Oh, Dad.
You should have seen his thing of fish.
Where's your mother, son?
I don't know. I'm just looking.
Come on with us. We'll look together. We'll all look together.
Oh.
I told you when I began that this was a story, but the names and the events are very real. Our town of Munson, USA, really existed in Korea, where it is called Munsan. Here, one day, 5,000 inhabitants disappeared. Munsan, completely razed to the ground by war. Near Panmunjom, there were Bunker Hill boys, too, but a different kind of club of neighborhood kids than the one Tad belonged to. Kim, who searched among the rubble for her family, had many namesakes in Korea. There were thousands of Kims looking for their families. And Bright Street, where Kim and Larry, Cindy and Tad lived, there's a Bright Street in Seoul, and a Bell Road, and a great mansion street. It wasn't the church basement of St. Ambrose's, but the Ambato Cathedral in Ecuador that housed the injured during the earthquake that took 5,000 lives. The Dutch farmer told a true story. There really is a Mayor Lawrence, only he lived in Oosterland, Holland, where the raging floods hit on the night of January 31, 1953, and the trailer camp was washed up upon a real railroad embankment in England, a victim of the same flood. Jutland's boat store, where Cindy assisted Dr. Pock, had its namesake, too. The Jutlandia, a Danish hospital ship, which flew a Red Cross flag from its mast for the 16 months that it was anchored off Incheon, giving medical aid to the wounded and dying. And there was a real Dr. Pock, a Korean doctor who took care of the frontline casualties. And Ruth Jorgensen, a real nurse from Denmark. Men and women from all over the world helping when disaster strikes through the medium of the International Red Cross. Now, in tribute to that great organization, may I present the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Dag Hammarskjöld.
I'm happy to pay tribute to an organization with which the United Nations has a record of fruitful association, the International Red Cross. An example of this successful association occurred last year, where representatives of the National Red Cross societies of the countries concerned were of vital help in carrying out the prisoner of war exchange in Korea. Aid to the civilian population in Korea is still being given by the Red Cross, working in effective coordination with the United Nations Korean Reconstruction Agency and other organizations in helping war and disaster-struck Koreans back to their feet. The help extended to the many victims of earthquakes in Turkey, Greece, and Iran, and floods in Chile, Japan, the Netherlands, United Kingdom, Belgium, Italy, Iraq, and Syria, were in its great tradition of service to all mankind. I salute the Red Cross for all its great work in past years, and I know that the United Nations can count upon its help in the future.
United Nations Radio has presented Madeline Carroll and Franco Tone in The Day It Happened, a special transcribed tribute to the International Red Cross. The narrator was Lowell Thomas. Also featured were Julianne Hendricks as the daughter and David Pfeffer as the son. Ben Grauer was special announcer. Script by Betty Ripley. Effects by Hal Johnson. The program was produced and directed by Gerald Keane of United Nations Radio.